Father, in the name of Jesus and according to your word, we long and pray for peace for Immokalee, that our inhabitants may be born again. We pray that you, Lord, will be a refuge and a stronghold to the children of Immokalee. Father, your word says multitudes are in the valley of decision, and whoever calls upon your name shall be delivered and saved. Have mercy upon Immokalee and be gracious to us, O Lord, and consider that we fight for our town to be restored. You, Lord, are our strength and stronghold in our day of trouble. We pray that we are righteous before you, and that you will make even our enemies to be at peace with us. That your word says that you will deliver those whom we intercede, who are not innocent, through the cleanness of our hands. May we realize that our defense and shield depends on you. We thank you for your word, Lord, that you have a covenant with us, and that you will take away our sins. Thank you, Jesus. We are your beloved. Your word also says that your gifts are irrevocable, that you never withdraw them once they are given, and that you do not change your mind about those to whom you give your grace or to whom you send your call. For those people of Immokalee who have been disobedient and rebellious toward you, Lord, we pray that now they will repent and obtain your mercy and forgiveness through your Son, Jesus. We praise you, Lord, for your compassion and your forgiveness to these people. We praise you that they are under your protection and divine guidance, that they are your special possession, your treasure, and that you will spare them. For we have read in your word that all that come to you shall be saved. Thank you, Father, for delivering us all from every evil work and the authority you have given us with the name of Jesus. We love you and praise you every day with its new reasons. We still praise you. We pray for the peace for Immokalee. May we all prosper that love you. Peace be within the streets and prosperity within this city. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. While we're waiting on those copies, we got, it's really just a couple of pages of scripture that I had that was sent to me. But we want to pray right now for the peace of Northern Ireland. A lady that goes to Dave Roberson's conferences, her name is Ruth, and several of us have met her. She sent this email to our email address here at the church a few days ago. Actually, Wednesday. And it says, as you know, we're coming up on the deadline of the 24th of November for the Northern Ireland Peace Agreement. At the present, an agreement looks very unlikely. That the repercussions of failure will be great upon the people of Northern Ireland. The Ulster, even success, though it means the signing of an agreement, does not automatically mean peace for the country. It's a little, she writes her paragraphs a little bit different, being from Ireland. Several years ago, we were able to organize a group of pastors, ministers, and priests to meet for prayer in our parliament. That's the, quote, Senate building. On leaving, about 90 of the people received Pastor Dave's book. Last night, with the deadline set imminent, permission was given for another meeting for the parliament in the parliament building. Approximately 60 church leaders turned up. We managed to get Deborah and Jimmy Miller security clearance to attend as well. We were allowed into the actual debating chambers of the Senate to pray. During the time of prayer, the church leaders began to pray and ask forgiveness for the offense that was made by signing the, do you say that Ulster? Is that how you pronounce it? I guess Ulster Covenant. As you know, this is the area I have been asking questions and studying about for quite a few months, whereby the covenant was signed in blood to swear the people would fight to the death to remain joined to Britain. After which members from the Catholic community began to pray and ask for forgiveness for the oath they made during the Easter rising, handing the country over to the goddess Eire, and promising to sacrifice the lives of their children in order to maintain a united Ireland. I was completely stunned by what we were witnessing, more so when much of the scripture reading was focused around Nehemiah. During the Houston conference, two prophecies I received talked about studying the book of Nehemiah and Nehemiah's anointing, both of which I shelved because I didn't understand. Deborah, that's Jimmy's wife, was much in intercession during our time in the Parliament buildings, and both Jimmy and Deborah stated that they felt something had moved in the Spirit, especially when the Catholic representatives asked for forgiveness for the aristocrats of the IRA the aristocrats of the IRA on behalf of their community. Please continue to pray for the country and for our politicians during this time. I believe strongly that Iris is going to be placed in a strategic spiritual role soon as the religious political heads of the politics here is moved, and that's how she is moved out of the way by God. So keep her in much prayer. Continue to hold Jimmy and Deborah in prayer as they have been ministering around the country. Jimmy's messages on being a friend of God is more than applicable to the divided nation of Ireland. Love you all and blessings. Ruth. Amen. Iris is she's a catalyst to that part of the world, to Europe, and she's the one that has the testimony about Dave's book and how she handed it out, and then it got back to her through a long story of getting on a plane with a woman that she didn't know, and the woman had a book of Dave's, and it was actually the one that she gave it to somebody months and months earlier, maybe a year earlier. It was a tremendous story. But God has her an intercessor and a catalyst for revival in that part of the world, and they've been fighting for longest time has gone on. So only God in a revival. So would you stretch your faith this way? We'll intercede. Father, in the name of Jesus, we lift up Northern Ireland, the peace agreement, and all that is going on there in the name of Jesus. We focus our faith with the anointing that you've given us here in Immokalee, and we couple together with those, Jimmy and Deborah, that are there, and Ruth that is there, and our Iris, the representative in the parliament. We ask you that in Jesus' name, the glory of the Lord would just begin to flow into their lives, flow into that place. Father, even on the other side of the world, it's probably day over there right now. As a new day dawns or a new day begins to come into being, we pray that the power of God will just roll over that country. We pray that demonic powers that have invested decades of control over mindsets and over prejudice, we pray that in Jesus' name that the glory of the Lord will come in to those parliamentary buildings, to those places where men and women of high estate meet. We pray in Jesus' name that old standing prejudice will fall by the blood of Jesus. We pray that curses that your blood have broken off will begin to be broken off as they lead the charge, as people, Christians, pray for their nation. We pray for the peace of Northern Ireland in the name of Jesus. Only you can bring this peace through revival, and we pray in Jesus' name. We lift them up. Father, in the name of the Lord, we pray for Iris as she and her husband serve in this Senate capacity, in the name of Jesus. Let the glory of the Lord rest upon her, the peace of God, and even the Solomon-type wisdom, let it rest on her mind and on her spirit. May she have so much peace that, Lord, the others will marvel at the glory of God that flows to her and through her in the name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. And the Lord said to me, as I said Wednesday night, that we're to meet here and the intercessors to come. And I hope more will come. And the ones that can't make it, they'll hear these words as they're being recorded. Because we're living in a time where, as It's a real dichotomy. We can really enjoy our salvation like never before and just be humorous and laugh and have the joy of the Lord on us. But at the same time, we've got to be more sober than we've ever been. Because if we're not, you don't do two things at once. You don't wield a big sword and claim what we're claiming and not be real serious about what you're doing. Else you simmer it down. You'd be better off. But we're not going to do that. We're going to do what he says to do. And we're going to move forward. I don't know that there's a day, I don't every day do this, but I don't think there's a day that I don't feel extremely thankful for the walk that I'm on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Not because I'm anything special or that I think that our group's any, you know, he'll do this for everybody. He didn't look at the back of our head and say, man, I just like you, or you're just really eeny, meeny, miny, moe that you got chosen to be special. But I look at the church world and I look at religion and I say, oh God, what if? What if I'd not found this way? If I'd not been learning how to deliberately apply myself? I love the option. I love the option of truth. See, I can go as far as I want to go. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the main thing is, I realize, like never before, as well as you do, that nobody can stop me. Really. Not even the devil. The only person can slow me down is me. Not a person, I don't care how close they are to me or how distant they are from me. They can't stop me if I choose to keep going. And removing the blame off of God is about 90%, and off of others is about 90% of most people's walk. Because it's always somebody else's fault. And it's always God's fault. And it's always circumstances. But when you realize that what He paid for you and I delivered us over to such a deliberate walk that nothing, if we so choose to take the power of the cross, nothing has the power to stop us. Nothing. Isn't that amazing? Not a child, not a wife, not a husband, not an associate pastor, not a board member, not anybody. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing? And with that in mind, you can have a revival. Because if you don't settle that part, then something will stop you. If you don't believe that part, then the equation doesn't work. Because he'll pull up something big enough to stop you. Well, my friend and yours and a father of the faith, Dave Roberson, he's been spearheading this thing for a long time. And thank God he found a lot of mysteries. And, you know, he's been preaching the sower can overtake the reaper. And he's right. I believe a lot of us are coming up to a place where we're seeing the same results. Why? Because it'll work for anybody. It'll work for anybody. Now, Dave kept praying and worshiping and fasting and seeking God, and he come off the road. And you know, the enemy has seen a group like us before. And you know, it's amazing how this can go from this setting, and then just overnight, when the breakthrough into revival takes place, it can go into something you don't even recognize. Something so wonderful you don't even recognize it. The multitudes and the crowds all of everything that the world will need to see that there's a real God. See, they're going to see that there's a genuine people. That there's a genuine people. Pastor Dave, he just kept praying and praying, and I'm testifying about him because that's where a lot of us are at. You know, the enemy, he'll try to stop you at different junctures. He'll try to stop you every way he possibly can, and if you keep momentum, he'll come and offer this, offer this, and offer this. And really, believe it or not, the moral falls, you know, the moral falls that the world sees and just destroys thousands and millions of people when they see a preacher fall. Those are really, it's a shame. But really, in a certain sense, they're on the lower scale of things. Those are sins of the flesh that are really supposed to be dealt with way far in advance of the kind of walk that advances you into room after room after room of maturity. So, you know, the revival that we're going to have by His grace, not anything of ourselves, because we're not special in ourselves, but we're learning how to deliberately walk into Him. So, you know, Dave, and I talked about this, shared with this with a lot of you intercessors, on a Wednesday night, I think a couple months ago, you know, Dave had his visitation. His wasn't the kind like the fellow that just fell. And we pray for people like that, don't we? We pray for anybody that falls. And, you know, God will restore somebody. Anybody that lifts their hands and asks for forgiveness. And that's the beautiful part of who He is. The only thing is, what you've got to understand, and you've got to always understand this, He can restore you. And He'll restore you right back to fellowship. But sometimes it'll take decades and decades to ever restore the place of testimony that you had. That can't be restored overnight. It just can't. That's impossible. So you can say, yeah, well, God can do anything. Yes, He can. But when you fall from a place like our friend did, and I don't even know that man, I never followed him. But my neighbor, you know, Candy asked me, he got home from a 10 or 11 day trip, you know, my Jewish neighbor, and I run with him and talk to him, and yeah, teacher. First time he's ever come to this church. I was in my office worshiping yesterday. And he came in the gate and it's got a big sign, please do not disturb, prayer in progress. And he banged on my door. And that was great because anytime he'll interrupt, that's fine. So I sit out there on that little patio and talk to him. There's something hungry about him. He wants God. But you know what? The first thing he wanted to know, the first thing he wanted to talk about, he wanted to know if I knew anything about that preacher out there that fell. That's what he wanted to know. See, the whole world looks at the whole world. I think he was relieved to know that that wasn't, because he knows we go out west sometimes. He was relieved to know that wasn't part of our bunch. And I pray for people like that. I pray he gets restored. But you know, the world's looking. And see, the way the world looks at it is the same questions he asked me. And I'd heard, but I didn't follow. I hadn't even watched the news on it. But he said, well, he said the guy would have been better off. And he's right. See, he's a sinner saying something that's absolute truth. He said the guy would have been better off to just to come clean to start with. Because then he said, first of all, no, I didn't do anything. Then he said, well, I did this. Then they kept looking, well, okay, I did this. And finally had to break down and say, okay, I did it all. Well, how does those kind of things happen? But I can tell you this, and the only reason why I bring up those kind of things is not to expose him, because he's already been exposed. We need to pray that he gets restored. But just so you know, even when you're restored back to relationship and fellowship, that doesn't mean your testimony's restored. You may go through a whole lifetime. And if you go personified into God, personified, I mean you just live your ever-living breath after that into God. Now He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above what you could ever do. And He could go in and just raise the dead and heal the sick and do all kinds of things and get it all back. But let me tell you how devious our enemy is. And this is why we're here tonight, to pray. Those kind of things, as you well know, they don't happen when a person's caught like that. They don't happen then. And they didn't begin last week, and they didn't begin last month, and they didn't even begin last year. They start in a person's life when it's really in seed form. And they begin in ministry, and God will come to them, and He'll begin to work on issues in their life that are in seed form that He sees that prorated out through the years. Now see, why does it look like those guys that are the highest fall the hardest? I mean, it's not just little sins they fall. I mean, it's stuff that the world is in awe about. You know, the world looks at him and gapes and says, and so the enemy does it, and he loves it, because what it does is, it doesn't cause a church of 14,000 to lose a pastor. It causes a whole nation to look and say, we know. See, Lieb, Mr. Lieb, my good friend, thank God, has got a guy that he looks at, and so he can bounce things off of me. And he's seen my testimony. So there's the grace of God that in the end, He'll make heaven. That's what I'm believing for. But do you know the millions that won't, because they don't have a pastor living across the street to bounce this off of? And they'll go right on saying, that Holy Ghost-filled bunch that say they pray in tongues, we don't even do that kind of stuff. We don't even do that kind of stuff. So he can go and pray and God will forgive him, but he can't stop the tsunami that goes across the nation and around the world and discredits God and has people stand up, and Satan has a tremendous revival with that. Well, how does that happen? How does it happen? I can tell you, because when they start out, God will always come. And He'll always try to deal with character flaws. Way, way over here in the infancy of something. But you better believe this, that the same devils that are prescribed to go and kill people that have that kind of ferociousness, they'll orchestrate and they'll come and they'll breathe on something that's not dead, and they'll breathe on it. And they'll solicit the emotions of a man that just says, because here's the problem. Do you know, and this goes for all of us, whether you're a minister or just somebody that's just an intercessor, an elder, somebody walking out. Your ministry can really, if you don't watch it, it can outrun your character. You can start doing so much for God, and yet you're doing so much, you're this far out here affecting thousands of people, or maybe hundreds of people, or you've got dozens of people around you, and your character's still back over here. He wants your character to go right along with your ministry. In fact, He wants your character to outrun your ministry. Well, those devils that come to cause people to fall like that, you know, they don't really have the right to make anybody do anything that they don't submit themselves to. And that's the other fallacy. Boy, we're finding out that, aren't we? People always have a choice. They always have a choice. But it's a lot easier to pluck it out over here. This is why we just, not because we're anything, we better just reverence the day and say, thank you, Father. This is why you and I
can feel more qualified to stand on this side of the blood and speak to the devil. Why? Because the message of mortification, that is dying to the flesh, is preached here and is working here. And if a person will do it, then he's able, the Holy Spirit's able to come over here and take that shovel or that whatever, that axe, and lay it to the root of character flaws and those kinds of things that really, really they're not so bad right now. I mean, they're not really good. They're just kind of in the imagination. They're just kind of in the inside of somebody. But if they keep going, the enemy just loves it if they don't deal with it. Why? Because he knows he can get them so far out here in a place where they're just high profile, ministering and ministering and ministering, and they don't deal with it. After a while, he'll pull the trigger on them. And he'll send devil after devil to pull that thing to its highest peak. But thank God Romans 5 says that sin shall not have dominion over us. Hallelujah. Why? Because we're not under the law anymore. We're under grace. Therefore, sin doesn't have the right to take its vengeance, pick us up, body slam us, and say, I'm going to make you do this. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So why are you telling us all this? To make you have all the more confidence that if you're standing here speaking to a devil and telling him to let go of your kids, this, that, and the other, you can know this. He has to obey when you're standing in the blood and letting the Holy Ghost deal with your faults. You don't have to be perfect, but when you're not hiding it, you can't ride in the same vehicle with the devil and be drinking buddies with the devil and bark at him and tell him to leave. He'll kill you. You can't have hatred in your heart, and you can't have character flaws where you're doing things in darkness and stand over here and say, I'm pulling you down over our city. I'm cursing you. You come down over my home. He'll slap you every way from Sunday. You're better just to be quiet. If I was doing something on Saturday night with a bunch of old girls and stuff and like that, and I was half backslidden, I wouldn't stand up and tell the devil, yeah, I'm telling you, sorry. You know what? I'm telling. No, he'd just backhand you into next year. Because you're his boy. But there's the blood of Jesus. You can step over into that blood and say, forgive me. I just cover myself. And when you do that, and you mean it, then you have the right to stand and tell him, you got to get gone. Hallelujah. But you got to understand this. No matter what he comes at you with, when you're born again, hey, not only born again, listen, we've been talking about this lately too, about how much authority the devil has and how much he doesn't have. I was reading before service. Do you know, even the madman of Gadara had 1,000, he had a legion. That was maybe way more than 1,000 demons in him. Jesus set him free. Somebody said, well, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. He sure enough can't make you do it if you're born again. I mean, if you've got an ounce of the new nature in it, he can't make you do it. But did you know the madman of Gadara? This is what I'm finding out. And even Donner was saying it. I liked what Donner said. She said, you can't cast out devils of people that don't want them to leave. You can't, because they want them to stay. Do you know the madman of Gadara? The Bible says he saw him from afar off and he ran and worshiped Jesus. There was something inside of him that said, I want to be free. I want to be free. And Jesus said, hey, this is putty stuff. Go. This guy, you, all of you. Can a few of us stay? All of you gone now. Hallelujah. Isn't that amazing? So we get the opportunity. Well, what do I do about people that don't want them to go. Pray that they'll have visitations from the Holy Spirit to begin to open their eyes and see. To see how good God is and how bad the devil is. Hallelujah. I like Donner. You know Donner? She was a witch. And as far as I know now, nobody really laid hands on her and cast out devils. She went into her own self-deliverance. Just said, I just refuse you. You've occupied this territory long enough. You got to leave in Jesus' name. Does that let us know what kind of authority we have? Isn't that amazing? Now, this is amazing because Pastor Dave, his biggest run-in lately wasn't with a devil like this man lost the battle to and now is being restored, hopefully. His was on the level of high tech. And I explained that to some of you several months ago or a few months ago, how that after hour of worship, the book of Colossians talks about the intrusion of going into places, men teaching things, high and heady minded people intruding into things of things they do not know, and worshiping of angels. And actually that breaks down. It's not worshiping of angels like I worship an angel. Paul was actually saying worshiping with angels or worshiping in the company of angels. And what he was saying is there was a group of people at the time that were teaching that aspiring people could actually get to a place that they would go beyond the normal group and they would elevate or graduate into another higher level that would be a level above the rest of the church, or apostles that would go to a place where other men of God did not, and that they would worship not the angels, but the worship of angels, meaning they would worship along with the angels, or that they would be so qualified for an extra kind of throne room experience that they left the bonds of human kind of occupancy, and they got in only in the presence of angels and worshiped with God. So long story short is, Dave didn't have that revelation then, but he began to encounter what he thought, you know, a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago, was the, and I'm saying this because he has it all out now, and he did a teaching on it, and he even wrote a letter on it, I think. These particular spirits so impersonated God. I say, well, I don't know. Will I run into anything like this? Well, if you do, you'll be well equipped now. And the other thing too is, you'd probably have to worship several hundred and maybe thousands of hours. Not that you couldn't do that, but I'm just saying, don't be afraid, because this was supposed to be a high takeout. It was supposed to be the same kind of takeout that goes along with the kind of things that people get their eyes off of Jesus. You know, the gold dusting and the different things that really, really do happen. I mean, they've happened. The only thing is that gets out in a realm of sensation. It's not a realm where He comes and does miracles in, gets little kids out of wheelchairs. It takes the eyes off of what Christ really came to do, and begins to put it on the sensationalism of angels and those kinds of things. And it's been experienced a lot. And it's been experienced in spiritual services where the Holy Ghost was moving. But I can tell you, the devil will come to church. The devil came into Dave's room while he was worshiping, and to start with, to start with, and I'm just telling you some accounts of what he told me, it was real subtle. It was real subtle. He began to hear what he thought was a choir singing. You know, and I'll tell you this about Dave. All the years, he's just a good old country boy. All the years I've ever known him, he's never got flaky. He's never talked about poltergeist experiences or anything like that. In fact, when anybody would, he was kind of way on the other side, like, you know, watch out. But they began to, he shared at a conference where they began to sing and just serenade him while he worshiped. But you know, he said that when time passed and he went back into his next seeking time, that he went into a horrible, deep kind of fog. A cloud came against his mind. And he could hardly think. Now, does that sound like the Holy Spirit? The more the Holy Spirit touches you, the more you enter into His glory, your mind gets pristine, it gets clear. It gets real crisp. You should be able to think clearer as you go into God. Well, he said he took the house close to the church, and while he was in worship and spending that month in worship, there was one or two times that his mind got so foggy he couldn't even hardly find the house when he tried to go home one or two times. But the worst thing was this, and I'll share this with you because we're going someplace with it. The worst thing was, he said, the more that he began to worship, that these things started showing up. And he obviously felt and understood it was angels to start with. And he was enjoying what he thought was angels. But he said after a while, they got louder and louder and louder. You know when something good starts aggravating you, it's not God. It's not God. He said, well, I'm having a wonderful experience. And after a while, it starts agitating you. It's not God. One night he got up, or one time he got up, he said, I told the boys to stop playing that music so loud, because he stayed at the house. He said, I told them they can't, they're going to call the cops on us, even if it is Christian music. And he went out and went around the garage right where they'd left the boombox or the stereo playing, and there was none there. That's where these spirits were taking him. Where were they taking him? I can tell you where. Now, I'm not going to name any other names, but I'm talking about two spectrums of the way the enemy causes people to fall. Whether it's a thing of the flesh that it's not dealt with, like our friend out in Colorado that just fell. That's a level of the flesh. That's really, as I said, that's kind of the cheaper, more expendable kind of devil. This is on another high-end takeout where a man will aspire to God, get past Jezebels, get past money, get past all kind of stuff, and say, I'm selling my life out to God. And sure enough, they do, like a guy like Dave Roberson or you or me or somebody that's going on in. And then the enemy will come, and the Word says he'll come as an angel of light. He'll come as an angel of light. Well, Dave said after a while that the thing got where he couldn't even worship because it was so loud. He couldn't even think to worship. He couldn't say his own thoughts because, well, why does that matter? I can tell you because there's men that are out on the circuit today that are having experiences that are comparable to what I'm describing to you that just recently happened to Dave. And where it has led them is out into areas of sensationalism that is not backed up by the Word of God, and then is not proved by the fruit of the health of the mind and the health and the sanity and the peace. See, look, and Dave is saying this to me, so I'm going to say it to you. The revival that we're going to have, all the glory to God, is one that's going to be backed up, first of all, by sanity and peace. The world is going to look at us and see that we're not strange cookies. We're not strange flakes that go off into sensationalism. Some of these guys, and I love them too, but they're having certain things like angels appear. Now, angels do appear, but they're given names to these angels, and some of them are female names. And when these angels show up, bizarre things happen. Like people start barking like dogs, clucking like chickens. Listen, the world looks at that and says, they're a bunch of idiots. They're a bunch of idiots. See, the revival that God wants us to have is on both scales. It's a thing of sanity and it's a thing of peace. And the signs and wonders is not that somebody runs through the church half naked and clucking like a chicken. The sign and wonder is you reach over and get them out of a wheelchair and they get set free. And then on the other end, when they come and NBC checks them out, they say, okay, because he's just like the rest of them. I guarantee you, no, there's no fraud here, but he's got to have some skeletons in his... What stripper did he run off with last year? They check him out. No, he hasn't been off. No, both ends. There's everything is the way it's supposed to be. And that's the revival that we're going to have by the grace of God. Hallelujah. By the grace of God. But see, here's where we get it. Here's where our confidence is that we can stand on this side of the blood and say, you're not going to kill our family. You're not going to destroy it. Because we're standing all also over here and saying, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, judge us. Work your work inside of us. So we're not standing over here in darkness running around on Saturday night and barking at the devil. It don't work. It just won't work. It'll slap you real good. Well, thank God. And some of those guys that are doing that, that are having the angels come in their meetings and all kinds of stuff like that, do you know also the report is their health is terrible? And their minds, they're talking about their minds. One guy was reporting that his mind had just went into a fog. Boy, Jesus knows I pray. I prayed for that guy recently. That he'd get all straightened out. Well, where does that... It's a high technical takeout. Dave, come to the place where that thing actually was so pressuring his mind. He couldn't even think. He said, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Nothing wonderful is supposed to aggravate you. Nothing peaceful is supposed to take over. Listen, God doesn't take you over. You're always in control of yourself. If anything ever takes you over, demons push. The Holy Spirit leads you. If you want to follow, it's okay. If you choose not to walk with me, you know, it's okay too. But, you know, it's up to you. It's your own, you know, it's your own decision. But if you feel something pushing you, you better do it. You better do it. You better do it. The church world, a lot of people will move out of that presumption of being pushed. It's not God. God doesn't push anybody. So he stood up against it and he said, I'm rebuking this thing. And you know the old story, it's comical. It really is comical. But nevertheless, he said, okay, now if you can believe this, but I know the man. I can tell you, I know the man. He's never been somebody talk crazy. He said he finally was laying there worshiping God and he said, okay, I'll think of a song and I'll say it out loud. See if they... So he said, shall we gather at the river? And they sang that one. I told you that. Then he said, you know, because Johnny Cash was his favorite. And he said, okay, what about Ring of Fire? And he said that there was a baritone in that bunch. He said they even when they got to that trumpet part, somebody come out on that trumpet, I think. And he said, you know, he's Dave can do it. I fell into... I mean, he said that angel, that angel of light that really wasn't... He sang, I mean, he sang it good. And Dave said, that's enough. That's enough. That's it. But you know what he said? He said, when he said that, what about ring of fire, or burning ring of fire? He said that they had been just serenading. And when he said that, he said, they hushed. And he said, I don't know what they were doing, but he said, I could almost swear to the fact that they must have been talking like, should we do this or shouldn't we do this? You know, the guy's not going to take gold dust home with him. He's not going to fall for this or that and the other. Well, he said, I think they decided we're going to try to squeeze this in on him and see if he'll bite it. And maybe, and so he said that he thinks they had their little counseling back and forth with each other, and they decided, we'll try it. It didn't work on him. Why? Because he prayed too many hours in the Holy Ghost. Aren't you glad for the Holy Ghost? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said, that's it. That's it in Jesus' name. So he began to fight on that thing, and he said immediately, within a few days, his mind got real clear. His mind got real clear. So they've tried, you know what they did then. And I can tell you, with everybody that I know that's died, there's been four instances of death. And without going into any details, I can tell you there was loopholes that Satan found to get in there. And you know, he can't kill you, like Donner said, until your time's up. And you're invincible if you're walking inside of Him. But He can find loopholes. You know, there's places where He can come and get in through this and get in through that. And everybody I know, except the one, I don't know, the other one did, and three of the four I know's in heaven that just died recently, most of all young kids. And Bill was young. But I believe God wants us to speak life over our church and life over this region. And speak to this entourage of spirits that are running to and fro. And I just did that, the whole thing, to tell you this. By the grace of God, we're in a real secure place. We really are. We're in an ark of safety. We're in an ark of safety. Because on this end, the Holy Spirit's come and He said, don't leave out this part. What is it? The mortification part. Stay in there. Call yourself dead. He said that you were dead and your life was hid with Christ in God. Stay on that part. Paul said, he said, death works in us, that the life also may be manifest. Hallelujah. So really, the more you die, the more you live. Die what? The more you die to yourself, the more you die to lust, the more you die to these things and fears and offenses, the more life comes out of you. The more you're qualified to stand here. And somebody said, well, I'm not perfect. Don't worry about being perfect. Are you aspiring to death? Yes. Well, that makes you qualified to stand here and say, devil, you can't do this. Hallelujah. If you're hiding over in that part where when somebody catches you, well, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. That wasn't me. You know, and then a week later, well, no, I did. You can't speak to the devil like that. You don't have the authority to, because you're, as the kids say, we're boys, you know, and if you're a boy with Him, then, you know, you don't have the authority to speak to Him. Then on this other side, we just keep praying in the Holy Ghost. And thank God that the world, when we do have our revival, they're not going to come by the grace of God and look at a church where they say they're weird. You know, they're real weird. You know, we've been seeing some things around here lately. And all of you know, all of you that have been around a while, you judge the spirits. You see when people fall out and demons begin to react out of them. But we love those kind of people. We love them. And if they come and they're sincere and they don't have an agenda, we just let them keep coming until they get set free. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory be to God. But as far as you and I go, ours is supposed to be, this walk is supposed to be one of peace. If you get something, you say, well, I had a visitation from an angel, you know, and you may have a vision. You may have a vision, or you may have a, but I can tell you, it's going to be dead in line with the Word of God. And it's not going to take, it's not going to fog your mind. It's going to make your mind a lot clearer. Hallelujah. Word, word, word. Kenneth Hagin, he beat all I'd ever seen. He had two or three visions. He told Jesus one time, if you can't back it up by the Word, I'm not receiving what you're telling me. He wouldn't fall for anything. He didn't know what he was. Jesus appeared to him and talked to him, and he said, okay, I'll take this, but I'm not taking it if you don't back it up by the Word of God. So he had to give him two or three scriptures or something. That's a stickler for the Word. But you know what? He got major visions. Jesus appeared to him. You know, Jesus will appear to people that are not flaky. Now, flaky people have visions too. They do. They do. Listen, don't ever, when somebody tells you Jesus came, you know, and He laid His hands on me, and He anointed me as a special, just smile at them. Just smile. Because He didn't do that. Jesus didn't come and give anybody, we're all separated. Now Jesus will come, but we're all separated unto Him. And nobody special, nobody gets a special invitation to be higher than anybody else. Well, I got anointed especially by Jesus. Well, His name, the demon chose the name of Jesus when He appeared to you. Or you was smoking something. Or you was doing something. But it wasn't Jesus. Hallelujah. Or you say you're awful bold. No, this is Jesus. Jesus will come to you if you put Him to the test and say, I'm not receiving no kind of devils like that. Hallelujah. He likes that. Praise God. So I was talking to Chuck Miles, and I told you guys this, and Pastor Chuck, that's LaRue's associate pastor, he said, Bronk, I'm in agreement that these attacks are a backlash of the pressing in and a last resort to scare us off from the coming outpouring. I also see this assignment or strongman has brought confusion with it, resulting in the scattering of the sheep as well as in the the attempts to cause separation of covenant relationships, which, my God, listen to this. Boy, Chuck, you hit it. Marriages, Jonathan and David relationships, that's friendships, and man to God. Boy, isn't that amazing? He was picking that up. Somebody wrote us, I won't say the name. They've been in some of our services lately. You won't know them. They're not part of our normal group. Demonic influence over home, husband, running off with other, you know, demons. It's demons unleashed against the home. I said when Pastor LaRue was here, he opened a can of worms by addressing that spirit. I like it though, because we're going to get past it and win. What spirit did, what can of worms did he open up? Well, he addressed prophetically that there's a spirit of dysfunctionalism over our city. You know, the fathers can't stay fathers in the home. They can't, you know, mamas can't rule. They can't rule well. And when I left, demons went crazy all over the place. And this poor lady, you don't know her, and I'm not going to mention her name, but you know, when demons get involved, it doesn't even matter. You know, I can say these things, my wife sitting here. This is a beautiful lady. Beauty doesn't matter. You know, beauty doesn't matter. You can be a movie star, be married to a movie star, cheat on her, run around. Not when the flesh has its way. Demons get involved. Sure.
I'm just sitting here and I'm just feeling the Spirit on the inside of me. Just want me to say this. I'm so thankful that for God, the Word that says He will deliver them from through the cleanliness of our hands. I'm just sitting here just beginning to realize how important that is. And I'm so thankful because there's such power in that when you know you're clean. You can pray and believe it's going to happen. So it's like God is going to deliver our loved ones. He's going to deliver people in this church because we're holy. Just because we're holy, His Word says they will be delivered through the cleanliness of our hands. So if we live a righteous life, there's no way the enemy can defeat us. There's no way the enemy can defeat anyone in our lives because His Word says He will deliver them through the cleanliness. Yes, they have a choice, but our prayers make a whole lot more happen when we're righteous. And when we know there's nothing in us that could stop that prayer from happening, there's nothing between me and God, therefore I can believe that this is going to happen. It just excites me. It just makes a more of a boldness in me mm-hmm. to want to pray
yes.
and want to ask for the help for these people.
Hallelujah. Good. Good. You can take that. Thank you, honey. Glory. So, hallelujah for that, Father. So we've been seeing, again, these four. Dave Roberson's son, 36, that was killed. Steve Roberson, his granddaughter, 11 years old. Then Tim Stemple's grandson, who was 21. And then Daisy's grandnephew, that was 19. And like I said, I know behind the scenes kind of things where the enemy would get in there. And boy, I'll tell you this, though. I am thankful. I am thankful that you can go to heaven in the 30, 60. I want to go there in the 100-fold. Thank God you can go there in the 30-fold. You can go there. You can get your life shortened, but you can go there even when you're not a real accountable. Now, there's some that have left us that are real accountable, and you can squeeze out of the 30-fold too. And I know that for a fact. I know it in my spirit. And sometimes they'll get out there and they'll backslide so long and they'll start destroying people's lives. And the light will go out. You've got to pray for them to get born again. You've got to pray they get back. You've got to really pray they don't die before they're out, while they're out there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. He says he's been resulting in scattering the sheep as well as in attempts to cause separation of covenant relationship like in marriages. Boy, don't we know that. Jonathan-David relationships and man to God. We have our Mount Hebron prayer and worship meeting on Friday night, he says, and it's my intent to lift up the prayer center. That's us leading leadership and all of the patent. Well, no, he's probably talking about them because that's one of the things, but he's in covenant with us there. Pastors in the churches which we're associated. By coming together, we can lift up a covering and a hedge that stops the enemy in his attack. As we join together, God will begin to open strategies and understanding so we can see the enemy's move before it comes. I just, you know, this bunch here, I can say it too. You know, be open to the Holy Spirit. And if He gives you any dreams, would you know that, you know, it just, you know the difference. You know the difference. It just sticks with you all day. You know, you get up, even after your coffee. Dreams that are dreams, you don't usually remember them past the first cup. I mean, they're just plain dreams. You know, they're gone. But I've had dreams that 2 days later, I could close my eyes and I was still in that place. That's usually from God. And if you ask the Holy Spirit, He'll say yes or no. And if it's Him, write it down. Write it down before you forget it. Write it before noontime, or write it right away. And come and see me. Let's God begins to speak to you through dreams or visions or gives you a word, because there's strategy among us. There's wisdom among us. Now He said, in addition to Psalms 149:6-9 reference we discussed, and I'm looking at these scriptures, and of course I had shared with him that's one of the scriptures the Lord gave me, and I think I quoted that Wednesday night, and I'll just read that to you, but you can turn there if you like. But verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, Psalms 149, sing unto the Lord a new song, and sing His praise in the congregation of the saints. Let Israel
Rejoice in Him that made Him, and let the children of Zion be joyful upon their, with, in their King. Let them praise His name in the dance. Amen, Terry. And let them sing praises unto Him with a tambourine in the harp. For the Lord taketh pleasure in His people. I like that. He will beautify the meek with salvation. Let the saints be joyful in glory. Let them sing aloud upon their beds. Man, He wants us to wake up in joy and lay down in peace. Hallelujah. I like waking up feeling good and feeling peace and feeling joy. Hallelujah. He said, let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand. And this is what they do. They execute vengeance upon the heathen. Well, of course, see, we're not against flesh and blood. We know that from what Jesus taught us through the apostles' writing in Ephesians 6. To execute vengeance upon the heathen, to punishment upon the people. These are spiritual weapons, and you understand that. Verse 8 says, to bind their kings, that's the hierarchy of Satan's division, with chains, and their nobles, right on down to the very imps that try to invade our home, with fetters of iron. Now how do we do this? To execute upon them the judgment that is written. And he calls this an honor. He says, this honor has all his saints. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. He wants us to do this. He wants us to do this. He wants us to do this. I told you this story one time. It bears repeating. It's real quick. But that imp that was, there was a devil that was in the room while Jesus, again, was having a conversation with Kenneth Hagin. And the other thing too about this, Kenneth Hagin did have several visions, or a few, but he didn't have them every day. And he probably had four or five in his life, but they were major ones where he did have glorified body experiences. Watch somebody that has a vision every day, you know, or a dream every night, or some, I mean, God gives you time. God will visit you, but watch preachers and different ones that they get caught up to heaven every day. It just is not his M.O. He didn't do it with Paul. Paul only wrote about two or three in his whole life. And you just got to, just word of the wise. Hallelujah. So Jesus is talking to Kenneth Hagin. And there's this devil that's in the room. And have you ever had to try to talk to somebody over somebody else? It makes you want to slap them. You know, you're trying to get information. Somebody's over here. Bah, 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 bah. Just, okay. And Jesus had something to say. And Kenneth Hagin was trying to listen. And he's catching bits and pieces of it. And the devil was just chattering. And he's thinking, Kenneth Hagin's thinking, my God, how long is the Lord going to put up with this? Well, in exasperation, just totally not thinking it through, or, you know, okay, I feel the anointing. He turns this thing and says, in Jesus' name, shut up. Well, the thing just folds up and just melts, leaves. And Jesus said to him, thank you. Thank you. He didn't like it either. He said, what do you mean, thank you? He said, I was waiting for you to do that. He said, well, you're the Lord of glory. He said, no, yeah, but you got the authority here on this earth. He said, I gave it to you. And you're supposed to be the one exercising it. And I was waiting on you to... So this honor hath all of his saints. We're supposed to be the ones that's executing. I wish the whole church was here, but it's okay. Because we got plenty enough. Hallelujah. Because it's an honor to do these things. Well, Psalms, we just read that. Isaiah 49:25 says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. Hallelujah to God. Are you glad? Well, Father, we just speak a prophetic prayer through the blood of Jesus. And I set myself in agreement with all of these men and women here tonight. And Father, however they address this thing and lift this thing up in the name of Jesus and say amen with me, I speak to this thing that is contending with our children and that is trying to destroy marriages and trying to come against this church and this body and even all of these churches, Lord. Lord, we lift up the prayer center in Tulsa. We lift up Houston, the family in Houston. We lift up Christy and Linda and the people in New York in the name of Jesus. We speak to those that are on this walk or with those that are on this walk. And in the name of Jesus Christ, we begin to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. We pray that confusion will be their lot. We pray that, Lord, these things will begin to snap off of them by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we release the glory of God. You will contend with those that contend with us in Jesus' name. You will contend with those that contend with us through the blood of Jesus. And we say yes and amen. And we release the power of God in the name of Jesus. And to this devil that's been running around and killing those different ones that either was ignorant or was opening doors of the flesh, we say that by the blood of Jesus, that this assignment is broken in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we say that the blood of Jesus is over the Family Prayer Center of Immokalee, over our children, over our loved ones, even those that are running from you right now and wanting to go to hell. We say that God, a ring of your mercy and a ring of your grace holds them in a place that this enemy cannot touch them until they repent, until everything is set in order by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. We apply the blood over this church and over all the children and all the family members and over all of everyone that's part of it in the name of Jesus. We say that our roads, 29, 82, and all the roads coming in, they're not killer roads, but they're roads that are covered by the blood of Jesus. The angels of the Lord are encamped around about them all the time. We say this is a city of God. And we say over our brothers in other cities that, Lord, their family members, their children, grandchildren, nieces, nephews, husbands, wives, Father, we say that they're covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. We pray that this thing that's been leashed out of hell, God, it come to an end now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we stand on this side of the blood. And we say that as a result of us standing in here tonight, when this thing hears and is chained by our prayers and the chains of others, Lord, if it tries to come back on us because of our speaking against it, when it comes, Father, I thank you that in Jesus' name it finds us hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ. It finds us hidden in the blood of Jesus Christ. It finds us inside of you. It finds us inside of everything that you are. Father, we speak over our children. Our children, Lord, will raise up and call us blessed. Our children will follow you all the days of our life. Our children will come into the fullness of this thing. They'll not backslide. They'll not run into the world. But I say in the name of Jesus, our children will not be destroyed, but they'll come into this revival. They'll be a part of this revival and we'll all live to be old together in this thing in the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Glory be to God. Glory be to God. By the blast of God they perish, and by the breath of His nostrils they are consumed. The roaring of the lion and the voice of the fierce lion and the teeth of the young lion are broken. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Now you intercessors, you can understand this. But I'll just tell you, ever since LaRue left, he didn't necessarily do it. It's our anointing and it was coupled with him. Some kind of devil from hell tried to come in here. Not just against our kids, but just to shut the services down. I'm going to tell you, those of you that are sensitive to the Spirit, you can tell. And I'm just a coach right now. I'm just coaching you a little bit. I wish some more was here. They could hear this. But when something feels flat, because we pray enough and it's not us, He just loves this habitation. We already have a habitation. When you come in here and it feels flat, you know what that is. You know what that is. That's just not a bad hair day for all of us. That's just not a flat time for all of us. We don't think in the, when you give a prophecy and it just falls to the floor and it's not you guys. I'm just saying it just feels like this. It's like, wonder what we're having for supper tonight. You know, God just said something that'll just change your whole world. And it's like, wonder, boy, we need to fix that light up there. That thing's really been, I don't like what. What did he say? Oh, he gave a prophecy. Oh, that's right. We should have been listening. That's a demon. Those are devils. Those are spirits. They make things flat. But he said he breaks the teeth of them in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory be to God, Father. We stand on this side of the blood of Jesus and we speak to this thing in Jesus' name. Whoever His name is, whatever He is, and however many He's got, come with Him by the blood of Jesus. You're right, Reuben. All of them's got to go by the blood of Jesus Christ. We command them in Jesus' name. Take that assignment back to where you were assigned at, and we put you in the dry places through the blood of Jesus Christ. And we bind you from coming again, O fearless one, in Jesus' name. We break off your teeth by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Plead my cause, O Lord, with them that strive with me. Fight against them that fight against me. Take hold of shield and buckler and stand up for mine help. Draw out also the spear and stop the way against them that persecute me. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought to confusion that devise my hurt. Let them be chaff before the wind. Listen to how aggressive he got. Let the angel of the Lord chase them. Let their way be dark and slippery, and let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? It's all right to get a real mean, green-eyed, ugly kind of aggressive kind of feeling towards the enemy. You want him not only hurt, you want him persecuted. Hallelujah. You've got to have that attitude to fight the enemy. In the name of Jesus, Father, we release the angels of the Lord. We release them to go and do this thing. We're not barking out orders in the world, but out of the world. And we speak and we say, let the angels of the Lord go and begin to drive these hosts from us by the blood of Jesus. I say that when people come into this place, it is an atmosphere of joy. It's an atmosphere of peace. It's an atmosphere. Our homes, Lord God, are filled with that same atmosphere. I say that healing is in our homes. We speak the healing power of God over every home in the name of Jesus. We say that sickness and disease cannot stay in our homes in the name of Jesus. We say that poverty cannot stay in our homes in the name of Jesus. We're a bunch, Father, that has called ourselves unto revival. And we say that, Lord God, that you raise up entrepreneurs in this place and that you give them the wisdom of heaven to make the money that's necessary to finance this revival. In Jesus' name, we speak the word of life and we release the angels of the Lord. We say, Lord God, let these spirits that have come, let them find that as they are pursued, that their way is dark and slippery, and it is not a way that their path finds a sure footing. But thank you, Father, that they're driven from our midst in Jesus' name. Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto the death. How many say, I got a testimony to say, thank you, Jesus. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. And the head intercessor was felt that some of these texts were also relevant. He said, Psalms 91, and that's a good one for you to read, how that He keeps us under the shadow of His. He said, he that dwelleth in the secret of the place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I will trust. Hallelujah. This is what we say. You are my fortress, my refuge, my God in whom I trust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. Psalms 101, he's, my eyes shall be upon the faithful land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. And then, of course, we know the scriptures in Matthew 24:25, where Jesus talks about if any man build his house, or build not his house upon the rock. But here's the good side of it. If you build your house upon the rock, storms come, winds blow. We will not, it will not fall. He has begun, he who has begun a good work in us or in me shall complete it to the day of our salvation. Of course, he's got 1 Kings prayer of Solomon here. Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto, and I'll say this church, and all these churches, according to all that he's promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he has promised by the hand of Moses his servant. The Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers, and let him not leave us nor forsake us, that we may incline our hearts unto him to walk in all of his ways and keep his commandments, his statutes, his judgments, which he commands our fathers. And let these words wherewith we have made supplication before the Lord be nigh unto the Lord our God day and night, that he maintain the cause of his servants and the cause of his church at all times, as the matter shall require, that all the people of the earth may know that the Lord is God and that there is none else. Let our hearts therefore be perfect with the Lord. Boy, that's what Candy was just saying. Our God, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments all these days or all this day. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Of course, he said if we had any other passages, of course, if I said if you get any visions or dreams or passages, I feel like we're doing something in the Spirit, Reuben. Glory be to God. Would you say this? I say that Immokalee is in revival. I say that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the dead are raised, the demoniacs are set free, and thousands are born again in this revival in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. We just worship you. We just worship you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and magnify him for a moment? We glorify you, Lord. Blessed be the name. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.